The Sahel is a borderland with the Sahara Desert. Therefore, rain fluctuation is quite common, and you sometimes get periods with drought. And right now we're going through a series of droughts. We had one in 2005, again in 2010, and now we're seeing the same thing this year. So across the Sahel band, it's patchy. It varies from country to country, but we're seeing much lower production this year, and more importantly, higher prices for food, which means even when food is available, it may not be accessible to many people.
Does conflict play a part in this?
It's compounded now by the insecurity we see, particularly in Mali, but also particularly in northern Nigeria. The loss of control by the government of the north of Mali has provoked a large movement of refugees and internally displaced persons. Over 350,000 people have left. 200,000 as refugees in surrounding countries, 150,000 inside Mali itself.
What are the current efforts the United Nations may have embarked on to try and ease this crisis?
The good news on all of this is that we started late last year when the first projections came in of food insecurity and higher rates of malnutrition. And donors have been very receptive as well. And as a result, we've been able to mobilize considerable resources. We need $1.6 billion, but about half of that has already been mobilized, which is now being used to get food, to get nutrition support into all nine countries, and now to deal with the refugee crisis around Mali. The funding continues. We have the people on the ground. We have the possibility of seeing through this crisis without major catastrophe. We can have a success here in the Sahel.
But there are challenges and concerns, aren't there?
There are always challenges. There are always concerns. The food is flowing, but it's still subject to continued funding. The same for support for malnutrition. We're seeing some shortfalls in funding in health and water. That's important, too, because you can save someone's life from food insecurity. You can save their life from malnutrition, a young child, but they may still die of cholera or diarrheal disease. Okay. So there has to be a complete package, and we don't quite have that package yet.
Several years ago, I can recall hearing of a crisis of this sort in the same region. Is there a long-term strategy to make sure that there's not a recurrence should you get out of this current crisis?
This is a very common observation, in fact, and I think for once, I think there's a growing consensus among governments in the region, among donors, and certainly among the UN agencies that we need to find a way to break this cycle. It's important to have an investment earlier that deals with the structural causes of this, which relate to agriculture productivity, access to food, high rates of malnutrition. If those can be addressed between these acute crises, then we can build the resilience of households so that they can absorb the shock of future droughts, and there will be a drought in the future.
Obviously, this calls for a lot of money. You mentioned something, $1.6 billion. How have your fundraising efforts or humanitarian appeals been? What has the response has been like to those?
It's been reasonably good, I have to say. I think we have to congratulate donors. We need to, first of all, congratulate governments for making an early call on this, an early warning, which allowed UN as well as the donor partners to mobilize resources early. We're about 50% right now of the $1.6 billion that I've described, which in normal terms compared to other appeals is not too bad. We need to ensure that that funding continues through the end of the lean season, mm-hmm. which will be September, October, basically. And if that funding is sustained, the personnel are on the ground, the commitment is on the ground to see this through. There will still be issues related to the insecurity in Mali and the refugee crisis, but the food and nutrition crisis can be contained if this funding continues at the rate that we're seeing.